Good afternoon, everyone. Apparently, jalapeno peppers are growing less spicy these days, and it's getting the food lovers all hot and bothered. Users on X, they erupted over the diabolical revelation, with many pointing the fingers at the corporatification of agriculture. We'll explain. In the headlines on the update this Wednesday, a former producer of raw milk cheese has pleaded guilty to charges related to a deadly outbreak of listeria. We'll have the latest details. Six people have been arrested here in New York on charges of illegally importing goose and duck intestines from China. Nick Cousins had two goals, and the Panthers beat the Devils for their sixth straight win, spoiling the debut of interim Devils coach Travis Green. And the road to the White House continues. Now, after Super Tuesday, President Biden and his predecessor Donald Trump dominated the coast-to-coast contest. Meanwhile, Jason Palmer, a previously unknown candidate, won the Democratic caucus in American Samoa. This is the update. Wednesday, March the 6th, 2024. Every city has a story. And in New York City, there just happens to be a lot of them. From the Tommy Lynn stage, this is the update with Brandon Julian. A three-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know, because anything can happen in New York. Greetings and salutations to you all, folks, every last one of you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the update on a Wednesday, the first hump day in the month of March for us around here. My wife's birthday countdown continues. We are now at 14 days to go, 2 weeks. Where is the time really going? Honestly, this might be the worst weather day in terms of all the rain storms that we've been having, although that's not 100% true. This weekend has another rainstorm on the way, right after we just dealt with this one. One from last weekend, I should say. But, you know, there is apparently some light at the end of the tunnel. As we go into next week, we're supposed to have temperatures back in the 60s, progressively getting warmer as the week goes along. Excuse me, I just need a sip of water before we get going here. That's cold. It really is cold. It's helps keep things hydrated, you know? I'm Brandon Julian, of course, folks. We appreciate you so much for being here, wherever you may be, and however, of course, personally, that you may be listening to us. Hopefully it's somewhere, you know, inside, and you're staying dry. Lots of news, of course, to catch you up on, of course. We're going to begin this Wednesday's proceedings out west in Syracuse, where a former producer of raw milk cheese has pleaded guilty to charges related to a deadly outbreak of listeria. Federal prosecutors say Johannes Volto and his New York-based Volto Creamery each pleaded guilty to one misdemeanor count of causing the introduction of adulterated food into interstate commerce up in federal court there in Syracuse. Prosecutors say that environmental swabs that were taken at the Volto Creamery facility in Walton repeatedly tested positive for listeria bacteria. Volto shut down the creamery and issued a full recall after federal authorities back in 2017 linked the creamery's cheese to an outbreak of listeriosis that caused 8 hospitalizations and 2 deaths. Now, on to some of the other news of this Wednesday. And we're going to go out to Long Island, out of Babylon, where those human remains that were found yesterday in that wooded area and state park are now believed to be from the same victims as the limbs and other body parts that were found last week at a different park. Suffolk County police say the discoveries were made in nearby West Babylon at a Bethpage State Park in Farmingdale, about 7.5 miles away from where the remains were found in Babylon last Thursday and Friday. Police identified the victims as a 53-year-old man and a 59-year-old woman who shared a last known address in Yonkers, north of the city, and more than 30 miles from where their remains were discovered. MLB The Show 24, the video game, they've now unveiled a female player mode for this year's game. A trailer that was released yesterday showcases, quote, "Road to the Show, Women Pave Their Way," for the game that's scheduled to be released on the 19th. A statement on the video games' website says, quote, "For the first time ever, you can create and play as a female ball player, with a unique Road to the Show story that evolves with the player over the course of your career." The trailer features a nod to Kelsey Whitmore, the first female player in an MLB partnered league. You may know her around here as from the Staten Island Fairy Hawks. Meanwhile, 6 people, they've now been arrested on the charges of illegally importing goose and duck intestines from China. Federal authorities said yesterday that some of the items were hidden under packaged rattlesnakes or mislabeled as pet grooming products. Authorities say this scheme involved transporting the restricted food items from China to California and then to New York, where they were sold to customers, including at restaurants. The 6 are charged with importing, storing, and selling hundreds of pounds of illegal food items between August of 2022 and last May. Messages seeking comment were sent to their attorneys. Federal law, by the way, prohibits importing raw poultry products from China. We now go out to the American West in Phoenix, Arizona, for the continuing situation of Rod Al-Mansouri, the man, of course, sought here in New York for that fatal bludgeoning in a hotel. In Arizona, he's pleaded not guilty to attempted murder and other charges in the separate stabbings of 2 women there over a week later after he got to Arizona. Al-Mansouri was arraigned on the charges stemming from the stabbings on the 17th of February in Phoenix and the very next day in the suburb of Surprise. His trial on the Arizona charges was scheduled for July 2nd. The NYPD here on the East Coast say that Al-Mansouri is a suspect in the February 8th killing of a woman in the city. The body of Denise Oleas Arancibia was found by staff on the floor of a hotel room. According to the authors and the publishers, American Fiction is an entertaining movie, and it has a lot to say about black families and the struggle of black authors in an industry that remains predominantly white. But the featured plot of a black literary author finds unexpected success through a crudely written, profanity-titled novel, but seems a little outdated to some. American Fiction, nominated for Best Picture and in 4 other categories, was adapted from a 2001 novel that came out when a genre often called urban literature was peaking. Those kinds of books, nowadays they no longer sell so well. The former mayor of this town, Mike Bloomberg, apparently he gave the most to charitable causes last year, followed by Nike co-founder Phil Knight and his wife Penny, and Michael Dell and his wife Susan. According to the Chronicle of Philanthropies' exclusive list of the 50 Americans who donated the largest sums to nonprofits last year, Bloomberg contributed $3 billion to support the arts, education, environment, public health, and programs aimed at improving city governments around the world, while the Knights gave in a little over $1.25 billion, including support for the University of Oregon and an ambitious poverty-fighting effort in Portland. The Dells contributed nearly $976 million to their charitable funds, which distribute gifts to a wide array of charities. To the state capitol in Albany we go now, where the Attorney General of this state, Tish James, is now sued a cash advance operation that's based here in New York, claiming that it exploited struggling small businesses across this country by issuing fraudulent loans. She alleges that the operation was issuing interest rates as high as 820%. James filed the suit yesterday against Yellowstone Capital, along with a network of related companies and people that she says carried on its operations after Yellowstone purportedly shut down back in 2021. At the time, the company was facing multiple investigations. The lawsuit says that the operation, which allegedly rebranded as Delta Bridge, continued issuing illegal loans disguised as merchant cash advances. It's a form of short-term, high-interest funding for small businesses. Across the river we go now to Bloomfield in New Jersey, where you may have known or heard recently that the ice cream parlor booth where Tony Soprano may or may not have been whacked was sold for more than $82,000. An anonymous buyer won an online auction on Monday night for the piece of memorabilia that occupies an outsized role in the lore of the award-winning HBO series. And that's particularly because it was where the Sopranos crime boss was sitting when the series ended by just cutting to black. It enraged many viewers, but also claimed a place in TV history. Ron Stark, who's the co-owner of Holston's in Bloomfield, says that the money will go toward renovating the dining area of the shop that opened in 1939. Meanwhile, the former Honduran president Juan Orlando Hernandez took the witness stand in his defense at his trial, denying that he teamed up with drug dealers to protect them in return for millions of dollars in bribes. His testimony in Manhattan federal court came after several days of testimony by drug cartel traffickers, who were hoping to earn some leniency from their long prison sentences in exchange for their cooperation. Prosecutors say that Hernandez used his Central American nation's military and police to help drug dealers move cocaine through the country on its way to America. Hernandez has denied helping them or accepting bribes. In other news, the former president's lawyers now say that the former president deserves a new trial, and a fresh chance to tell a jury why he berated writer E. Jean Carroll for her sex abuse claims against him after she revealed them 5 years ago. The lawyers made the assertion yesterday as they renewed challenges to the over $83 million awarded to Carroll in January by a Manhattan jury. Trump's lawyers say that the award was unjust because a judge disallowed the Republican frontrunner for president from fully testifying about his reasons why he harshly criticized Carroll while he was president. Trump was on the witness stand for less than 3 minutes. And finally, it doesn't look good for Bob Menendez, because new obstruction of justice crimes have been lodged against him. The new charges were in a rewritten indictment returned against the Democrat yesterday in Manhattan Federal Court. New charges of conspiracy to obstruct justice and obstruction of justice were added against Menendez and his wife Nadine. They enlarged an indictment that already says that the couple conspired with three businessmen to accept bribes of gold bars, cash, and a luxury car in return for the senator's help in project pursued by the businessmen. Both of them have pleaded not guilty. One businessman, though, pleaded guilty last week, agreeing to testify at trial against the other defendants. Time for us to step aside momentarily. When we return on the update this Wednesday, I have a few important messages to tell you from the MTA. Gonna talk some sports and talk about how Travis Green's debut as Devils coach was spoiled by the pesky Florida Panthers. We're gonna talk together the latest national news. The road to the White House officially continues, as President Biden and his predecessor Donald Trump dominated the coast-to-coast contests on Super Tuesday. And Jason Palmer, who was a previously unknown candidate, won the Democratic caucus in American Samoa. And at the end of the broadcast today, jalapeno peppers, they are growing less spicy, and it's getting the food lovers all hot and bothered. And it erupted over on X, formerly known as Twitter, because many of them are pointing fingers at the corporatification of agriculture. Gonna talk about this, folks, and a lot more, too, of course, when the update Brandon Julian returns in just a moment. It's news for New Yorkers who never stop moving. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
They are our cuddlers and coworkers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. You know, folks, if I were to do something, if I would accidentally combine something, most people would consider it a mistake. But other people actually do these things on purpose. You know what that's called? Criminal intent. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Through the first half of 2024, F trains will run on the E line at all times in both directions. Between Rockefeller Center and Jackson Heights Roosevelt Avenue, because of track replacement along the 63rd Street line. On weekdays, M trains will not run between Rockefeller Center and Forest Hill 71st Avenue. Trains will run between 57th Street on the F line and Metropolitan Avenue. A special F shuttle train will run every 20 minutes between Lexington Avenue, 63rd Street, and 21st Street, Queensbridge, stopping at Roosevelt Island. The shuttle train will not run overnight. Free shuttle buses will run between 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza on days and evenings, and between Roosevelt Island, 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza overnight. Through early 2024, Manhattan-bound 7 trains are skipping 111th Street and 82nd Street, Jackson Heights, because of station improvements. For nearby service, use a Flushing-bound 7 train or use the Q32 or Q48 buses on days and evenings along Roosevelt Avenue. Through the summer of 2024, Manhattan-bound J and Z trains are skipping 75th Street, Eldridge Lane, and Woodhaven Boulevard because of station improvements. For nearby service, use the Q56 bus making stops along Jamaica Avenue. The New York City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and to stay aware of your surroundings. If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, tell a police officer or an MTA employee. MTA crews are here to help us get around. Let's treat them with respect. Assaulting a New York City Transit employee is a felony, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.90, with the exception of the BX18A, BX18B, B60, M116, Q4, Q4 Limited, S46 and S96 Limited, until March 30th. Transfers on all other lines must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. For the S79 Select Bus Service, pay your fare on board the bus. For all other Select Bus Service routes, pay at the kiosk outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $7. Coins are not accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
So, Devils and the Panthers going at it over at the Rock in Newark. For the Devils, it's their first game, it was, under their interim coach, Travis Green. Of course, Lindsey Ruff was fired by GM Tom Fitzgerald on Monday. The Devils have slid out of playoff contention recently. They need to get things going on the right foot. Yesterday was not the definition of the right foot. Nick Cousins had 2 goals. And the Panthers beat the Devils 5-3 for their 6th straight win. Itu Lostoranian, Evan Rodriguez, and Sam Reinhart also scored, as the Panthers are probably the hottest team in the NHL right now. That's 12 wins in their last 13 games. They also lead the entire league with 43 wins and 90 points. Anthony Stolarz made 22 saves, giving 35-year-old Sergei Bobrovsky a night off after his big performance in a win against the Rangers on Monday. Jack Hughes, Timo Meier, and Colin Miller all scored for Jersey. Just a train ride away over at UBS Arena, Islanders and the Blues going at it. Bo Horvat scored the go-ahead goal early in the third, and the Islanders won their fourth in a row, 4-2. Kyle Palmieri, Jean-Gabriel Pageau, and Matthew Barzal also scored for the Isles, as they moved within 4 points of Philadelphia for the third spot in the Metropolitan Division. It would guarantee them a spot in the playoffs. Ilya Sorokin finished with 19 saves. Alexei Toropinesco and Jordan Koiru scored for the Blues, who had won 2 in a row. Rookie goaltender Joel Hofer made 29 saves. From the ice, we go over to the hardwood. A trip back on the Long Island Railroad we go, over to the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. Knicks and the Hawks going at it. Knicks continue to be short-staffed with a rash of injuries. Jalen Johnson scored 26 to lead Atlanta to a 116-100 win over the Knicks. DeAndre Hunter had 22 off the bench, and DeJounte Murray finished with 21. Dante DiVincenzo led the Knicks with 21 points. Bojan Bogdanovic had 19. Jalen Brunson, who suffered a left knee contusion on Sunday's game at Cleveland, and Shane Milton, who signed with the Knicks just yesterday, they did not play. Over the Manhattan Bridge, we go over to Barclays Center. Nets and the 76ers going at it. Nets trying to fight for a spot in the play-in tournament. Dennis Schroeder and Dorian Finney-Smith each scored 20, and the Nets beat the Sixers 112-107. Lonnie Walker, the forward, at 19, with Nick Claxton at 17, with 10 boards for Brooklyn, who bounced back quickly after a poor performance on Monday in their loss to Memphis. They took advantage also of a shorthanded 76ers team that was missing both of their all-stars, with guard Tyrese Maxey scratched early yesterday because of a concussion. Mikal Bridges scored 15, and Finney-Smith had 12 in the fourth quarter for Brooklyn. And from the hardwood, let's go down to the diamond down in Florida. Spring training continues. And the big headline out of there is that three big-name starting pitchers are dealing with injuries that could cause them to miss the beginning of the regular season and potentially even more time. Justin Verlander, the Astros, the Cardinals' Sonny Gray, and the Red Sox's Lucas Giolito are all ailing down in spring training. Verlander will start the season on the injured list after being slowed by inflammation in his shoulder. Gray has a hamstring strain that caused him to leave his Grapefruit League start Monday. And Giolito reported discomfort in his pitching elbow following a start last week when he got roughed up. The road to the White House after the results of Super Tuesday. Kristen Sinema of Arizona isn't going to be running for a second term. And did you have trouble logging on to Meta Issues again? It feels eerily similar to a time just a number of years ago when you couldn't log on. Going to talk about all this and more because national news, it is next for us around here, of course. When the update of Brandon Julian continues. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to inform you about the following. Where has the time gone? I really hope that I didn't write that line. Did I write that line? Well, maybe I actually did. We're now celebrating 7 years of this program, 7 long news-filled years. My producers, who look for any excuse to hold a celebration, are having one every weekend as we go into the update archives to play you an episode from throughout the many years of this program. And then on the weekends, also once a month, we'll play an episode from my list of personal favorites throughout the many years of this program, as I explain to you why that particular episode is one of my favorites. So every weekend, dig into the update archives with us to remember where you were when this particular episode aired. And then once a month, the list of my favorite episodes as well. Keep listening on the weekends because it'll be a party that you will never forget. Unless, of course, you can't actually remember it from, well, you know, the night before. You know, as I was growing up, my mother told me to always wipe my feet on the mat before I go into the studio. Well, Mom, this one's for you. There's a lot more show to stick around and listen to as the update of Brandon and Julian. We'll be right back after these messages. From New York, the V stands for value. This is the update with Brandon and Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
When it comes to a gun suicide attempt, all it takes is a moment.
My son, Ricky, took his life by the use of a firearm. It broke me, and I contemplated suicide. My grandson, I was going to have to be here for him. I still own my firearm. I keep it in a safe because I want to keep my grandson and myself safe.
Store your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council. When it comes to a gun suicide attempt, all it takes is a moment.
Heather and I had an argument just like any other couple. I was lost. I had snapped. I had a gun and I was going to take my own life. Heather helped me realize that there was still a life to live for the better of myself, my family. My weapon is now safely put away.
A moment of crisis can happen to anyone. Store your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
From New York, only a rental and only $5 a day. This is the update with Brandon and Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to the update, Brandon and Julian, on a Wednesday, everyone. First hump day in the month of March for us around here, of course. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for still being here with us, even though I know it is dreary and blah out there. At least hopefully you're somewhere dry and you're staying safe, because like I said at the beginning, this is not our first bout of rain we'll have to deal with. We have another shot of rain coming in over the weekend, particularly for your Saturday. That's just what we need after it was rainy almost all of last Saturday, too. It's just great. You can hear it in my voice. It's just great. Anyway, folks, let us talk together right now, of course, the latest national news. And we are going to begin in Washington and talk about now the road to the White House. Because President Biden and his predecessor Donald Trump dominated the coast-to-coast contest on Super Tuesday, and they basically all but cemented a rematch in November, and have increased the pressure on the president's last major rival, Nikki Haley, to drop out of the race. Biden and Trump, they each won California, Texas, Alabama, Colorado, Maine, Oklahoma, Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, Arkansas, Minnesota, and Massachusetts. Haley's lone victory was in Vermont. She was watching the results privately with her staff down in the Charleston, South Carolina area. The former president told a raucous crowd at his Mar-a-Lago estate that, quote, "They call it Super Tuesday for a reason." Biden warned that if Trump returns to the White House, all the progress that was made by his administration is now at risk. There was one major programs in this. Well, not major program, but I should say that there was one omission from those lists of things that I named, and that was the island of American Samoa. Because Jason Palmer, who was a previously unknown candidate, won the Democratic caucus there yesterday. Out of the 91 ballots that was cast, Palmer won 51, and President Biden won 40, according to the local party. Palmer told the Associated Press, quote, "I found out that I had won because my phone started blowing up." He said that he had never visited the territory before the caucus. The outcome, though, won't derail Biden's march toward his party's nomination. Only 6 delegates were at stake in the U.S. territory, which is a tiny collection of islands in the South Pacific. Palmer, I should say, is a resident of Baltimore, who has worked for various businesses and nonprofits, often on issues involving technology and education. Out to the American West we go now, to Phoenix in Arizona, where the independent Senator Kyrsten Sinema says that she's not going to run for a second term this year. Sinema's decision yesterday comes after her estrangement from the Democratic Party basically left her politically homeless and without a clear path to re-election. Senate Republicans recently blocked a bipartisan bill to help secure the U.S.-Mexico border and deliver military aid to Ukraine and Israel, which Sinema had spent months negotiating. Sinema had hoped it would be a signature achievement addressing one of Washington's most intractable challenges. Sinema said that she loves Arizona and is proud of what she's delivered, but, quote, chooses civility, understanding, listening, and working together to get stuff done. Out in Las Vegas, the Oakland Athletics and their design teams, they released renderings yesterday of the club's planned $1.5 billion stadium in Vegas that shows 5 overlapping layers with a look that's similar to the famous Sydney Opera House. The A's are hoping to move into that 33,000-seat domed stadium in 2028. A glass window beyond the outfield provides an outdoor feel with views of the Las Vegas Strip. Also included is an 18,000-square-foot video board, which would be the largest in all of MLB, and layered roofing resembling the Sydney Opera House. The U.S. Department of Education, they say now that Liberty University, they've agreed to pay an unprecedented $14 million fine after the large Christian school in Virginia, they failed to disclose information about the crimes on campus. Those crimes included sexual assault. Liberty marketed itself as having one of the safest campuses in America. That fine is by far the largest under the Clery Act, which is a federal law that requires universities to collect crime data and notify students of threats. Before yesterday, the largest Clery Act fine was $4.5 million against Michigan State. That matter involved campus doctor Larry Nassar, who had molested elite gymnasts, of course, and other female students. Excuse me, other female athletes, I should say. And finally, did you have trouble logging on to the various Meta platforms yesterday morning for about an hour? Well, you were not alone. The very first thing I know I thought of was that flashback to 2021 where you couldn't log on to Instagram and such for about a day. Most of one day, I should say. Well, the technical issue had caused those widespread login issues for more than an hour across Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and Messenger platforms. Andy Stone, who was Meta's head communications person, acknowledged the issues on X, formerly known as Twitter, and said that the company, quote, resolved the issue as quickly as possible for everyone who was impacted, and we apologize for any inconvenience. Sounds like a thing you hear at the MTA. Jalapeno peppers. Some people love the spice. And apparently they're growing less spicy than they ever have been. And it's getting the food lovers all hot and bothered. The debate erupted over X. And we'll talk about this because your honorable mention is next when the update of Brain and Julian returns in just a moment.
Substance use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so as a Black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com. Brought to you by the National Council for Mental Wellbeing, Shatterproof, and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. You know, every day, folks, in this studio, while I give the news to you, I ponder sometimes the questions of the universe that many people wonder and want answers to. Like, for example, why can't I wear white after Labor Day? I bet you never thought of that one, huh? This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Wednesday, everyone. First hump day in the month of March for us around here. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. You know, folks, there is just enough time left today, of course, for your honorable mention. We're talking spiciness. Now, I'm sure most people out there, they have various levels of spice handling. I know for a fact that over the years, I have very low spice tolerance. My wife has a higher spice tolerance than I do, and I know before she's tried to help me, increase my spice tolerance level, but maybe it's just because I've been eating essentially the same food for 10 years. but this is actually not your imagination. Jalapeno peppers are growing less spicy, and it's getting the food lovers all hot and bothered. People on X, formerly known as Twitter, they erupted over the diabolical revelation on yesterday, with many pointing fingers at the corporification of agriculture. The first quote has curses, and I tell you right now, we're going to use the full curse because, you know, we're all friends here. We all know the language. This is from healthcare writer Timothy Faust. He tweeted, along with a link to this magazine story from May of last year, D Magazine, here's why jalapeno peppers are less spicy than ever. Quote, fucking insane. Big Ag actually made jalapenos less spicy. You're not going nuts. You see, folks, this article, it boiled the taming of jalapenos down to their advanced farming technology that standardized the crop so growers could better market their goods. The once iconic spicy peppers are now generally grown to be mild, but they can be made hotter with some help from extract that is dripped into salsas, sauces, sausages, and other goods after the jalapenos have been processed. Foss's post, which has been viewed more than a million times, inadvertently kicked off a social media storm. One furious user replied, quote, "It's absolutely diabolical to breed vegetables for consistency, just to force these abominations onto unsuspecting consumers. You're already selling it by the pound for a reason." Another responded, quote, "There is literally nothing that capitalism will not destroy." Plenty of others, they called for a reversal of the practice, with one of them stating, quote, "Hands off our peppers, big ag." I don't know. The growing mildness of jalapenos, it comes as the demand for serranos, which is a grassier tasting, but nearly three times stronger chili pepper, have burst into popularity, possibly to take over the hole that jalapenos have left behind. New Mexico State University Extension vegetable specialist and chili pepper expert Stephanie Walker told D Magazine, quote, "The jalapenos' descent into general blandness kicked off nearly 40 decades ago when consumers began marketing their goods with mild, medium, and hot labels." I'd like to think they said 4 decades ago, not 40 decades, because that does 40 decades. That's 400 years ago. I'm not sure that the jalapenos were around in the 1600s. So let's say 4 decades. For the sake of this argument. That became the big demand for jalapenos. Low heat jalapenos. Because most of them are used for processing and cooking. Producers want to start with jalapenos and add oloresin capsicum. I think I spelled that right. I'm not a chef. She referred Ms. Walker to an extract from peppers that contain pure heat and can be added to products to reach varying levels of spice. New lineages of jalapeno were even cultivated to accomplish this low heat, mild goal, the most popular of which was the Tam 2 line, which was crafted by Texas A&M University. One ex-user wrote, quote, "Some asshole Texas A&M students made a more profitable but less hot jalapeno pepper, and that's why they suck now." Unbelievable. Another responded in agreement, calling the schools' students, quote, "wokesters." Although Walker anticipates that the market will shift to, once again, intentionally grow jalapenos for their spice, the best bet for heat lovers these days is to buy from local, small-scale farmers or to carve out a space in their own garden for some homegrown peppers. I know one jalapeno I will always love, and that is, of course, Jose the Jalapeno from Jeff Dunham. I will never grow. I love you, Mr. Jose Jalapeno. On a stick. Go watch him online. He's actually pretty funny. I will let you guys ponder on this, as we say, in the words of Walter Cronkite. That's the way it is. Wednesday, March the 6th, 2024. That is the update on this Wednesday. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you being here with us. Looking back on Halloween of 2017 in year number one, it's part of my favorite episode series. I'll explain to you why it's my favorite in about a week and a half on the 16th, wherever you happen to listen to this podcast. You know, so until you watch for the puddles or those cars driving by that will splash you with those same puddles, In the words, of course, of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hopefully that your news, folks, will be good news. I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck, be safe, and most importantly, folks, please be well. And, honey, after we go to bed, I'm going to get that turkey costume, and I'm going to let you hum me in the mouth while I go like, gobble, 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 gobble. I should have saved that one for Thanksgiving, actually. Well, tomorrow might actually be our first dry day. I say dry with quotes because the rain and drizzle is still going to be around. And then we have one sunny day Friday before more rain comes in over the weekend. Because that's just what we need in all this. It's more rain. Let's talk about that a lot more, too, of course, folks, when I see all of you right back here tomorrow. Because tomorrow's an important day. The president is going to give the State of the Union address, addressing how our union is strong. Or maybe it isn't. I don't know. But we'll see you tomorrow before then. See you then.